Hello and welcome back to the Smashy Business Show. I am Farah Bashir and joining me is...
And I'm Wart Ahmed. It's really nice to be with you today, Farah.
Thank you so much for being here, Wart. Today we have a lot of things to talk about. So before we have a very tiny, cute discussion, I want to give you guys the headlines for today. So Saudi Arabia ranks second in salary in job security satisfaction. And as well, you guys, if you haven't seen it, you must have seen it. It's the electric 3D printed Dubai Abra. And Trump, the assassination, how is it related to the business in the Middle East? We're going to be talking about that. But have you guys as well seen the Ambani wedding? Have you seen the Ambani wedding?
Of course I have. I mean, have you seen all the celebrities that have gone?
Yes, 100%. And apparently, by the way, they're saying that it has cost more than $300 million. Would you spend such a big amount on your wedding?
I mean, me personally, I wouldn't spend that much money on a wedding because I see that as overconsumption. I don't think that's required. I would invest it into something else, yeah, like charity. However, in their specific case, have so much money that it can go into weddings,
exactly,
and charities and investments.
100%.
And for them, I think it's a very smart business deal.
I agree with you.
I see it that way. Do you see it that way?
I do, because if you want to, guys, let's dive deep a bit into that. So Mukesh Ambani is the richest Indian businessman in Asia, not only India, in Asia, and he's estimated at $124 billion. So of course he must have, you know, put that much money into that, but tell me, how do you think this is a good business deal?
I think it's a really good business deal because, you know, if you take a look at the wedding and all the people that attended, Bill Gates was there,
true,
Mark Zuckerberg was there. You know, you have influencers like Kim Kardashian, previous UK prime ministers. You know, I really see this as a smart business move because what they're doing is that, you know, they're showing their soft power, you know, by showing all the glamour of Indian weddings, you know, the richness of it. What they're doing is that they're, you know, they're showing the world that the Ambani empire is here to stay.
Agreed. And honestly, I would say that if I was with them and I had such a that much amount of money and I'm a business woman in my case, I would actually do invest in that way. But let's jump to our story to you guys for today. So Saudi Arabia ranks second in salary and job satisfaction, which is really amazing. So it achieved the second highest ranking in the salary and job security subcategory, with 63% of respondents expressing significantly higher satisfaction than the global average of 59%, which I would say that this is all as well a very smart number for Saudi Arabia because it's in tune with its plan for 2030 and its economy growth.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
You know, what I really think about it is for the longest time ever, you know, Saudi Arabia was seen as the oil-rich Gulf.
Yes.
But now it's going to be seen beyond that, you know.
100%.
It's going to be seen as a competitive workforce place.
Exactly, because beyond as well the work environment, it also performs well with Expat Essentials Index. Because you know what I mean? Like they have been attracting a lot of tourism. His Highness King Salman wants to attract a lot of tourism. And as well, they want to provide to expats work opportunities. And this all, by the way, aligns with that, which will as well align with their economy and the growth of their economy.
Yeah,
what do you think?
You know, I really think it's also going to give them a competitive advantage in the GCC. Mm-hmm. You know, now that they rank second place with the highest stats in the workforce, I think that, you know, they're really setting themselves up as a superior power in the Middle East.
Agreed. And as well, they are ranking the sixth globally, of course, for surpassing the established expat destinations like, you know, of course, Singapore. People think like, oh yeah, I want to go to Singapore, Mexico, Indonesia, and Kenya. However, people are now actually thinking of going to Saudi Arabia, which is a win for them. 100%, as you said, you know, they are investing more than oil, past the oil. They are investing in bigger things and various things. And of course, this is all according to the Washington Post, you guys. So, you guys, as an expat, do let us know. Would you go to Saudi Arabia? It is a great place to invest right now and work in and invest in yourself as well. Not only invest the money, and we have heard from His Highness King Salman to invest in oil and Aramco and other places as well, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's jump to our second story, you guys, if you haven't heard. Have you guys seen the 3D printed world's first electric Abra. If you guys don't know what Abra is, back in the old 19, back like, you know, like Abra, it's a cultural heritage tied to the UAE where they used to actually pearl fish using it. And if you guys don't know, pearls are very prominent in the UAE and they used to use an actual wooden Abra. However, they are now using a 3D printed Abra. Tell us more about that.
You know, I really think that this Abra project, it's so special because, you know, my grandfather, Farah, was in the UAE since 1974. Wow. And, you know, he sees Abra as, you know, the symbol of the UAE's heritage. You know, it's woven into the threads and fabrics of this country. You know, before 100%. They had tall buildings and, you know, before we had malls, the Abra yes. was there and, you know, they had like fishing villages. Mm-hmm. So I really see it as, you know, this project, I see it as tradition and modernity coming together and making something really special.
Exactly. And by the way, one thing about the UAE is that it will develop and it will evolve. But the roots will stay. So in light of that, RTA, as we all know, has launched the world's first electric Abra manufactured using 3D printing technology in collaboration with private sector partner. And it's a 20-passenger Abra which aims to persevere the traditional design while achieving significant cost and time savings in manufacturing and operations. And this initiative supports Dubai's sustainability goals as is part of RTA's broader strategy to enhance marine transport services. Of course, you know, we've heard about the UAE, Saudi Arabia, and a lot of other countries. They are really looking into investing in all of the investments have been as well. They have like a factor of, environment. And this Abra, it's 3D printed and it's an electric Abra, which will contribute to the environment.
Yeah, it really will contribute to the environment. You know, it does align with the UAE's mm-hmm. goal to, you know, it aligns with the UAE's yes. goal to have self-driving journeys increase by at least mm-hmm. 30% by 2030. And to be honest with you, the reason why this entire project is so special, it's because of the fact that, you know, there are a lot of people who live in Bar Dubai and Dera. And Dera, it's a pretty commercial place.
Yes.
You know, you have the banks, you have the souks, and it's a really good route for people between those two locations mm-hmm. to, you know, to go between them, especially if they work in the souk and they trade in spices and gold. I think this is really amazing for them, you know?
As well, yeah, and as well, it will be shortening the manufacturing time of the Abras by 90%, which is, I would say, a very big number, and as well, the manufacturing costs by 30%. So imagine, like, you know, having the Abra, the wooden Abra, it must have cost them a lot more, and as well, they will be lowering the cost maintenance by 30%, which all by the way contributes to the environment, as you mentioned, and as you mentioned as well earlier, that a lot of the countries are actually looking forward to more, I'd say, environmental friendly, ways to help the environment. And of course, it's part of as well, by the way, guys, the 2030 vision for the UAE. We not only Saudi Arabia has a 2030 vision, but as well the UAE. Yes. So let's jump to our third story. If you guys are on social media, you must have seen Trump. So let's not talk about the Trump. He got almost assassinated as he was having a rally in Pennsylvania. And people are saying that this would have or might affect as well the business in the Middle East. Tell us about that.
You know, the reason why it would affect it would affect business deals in the Middle East is because, you know, right now, you know, Eric Trump is trying to expand the Trump Organization in the Middle East, mm-hmm. and we see this through his project in Saudi. You know, they're going to build a Trump Tower and they want to complete it by 2028. Mm-hmm. And they also have a project on Oman that's worth $5 million,
yes.
Farah. $5 million, mm-hmm. where, you know, they're basically going to expand this luxury resort there, you know, with an 18 golf course that's very similar to the one that they have in Damak. in Dubai. And, you know, the reason why this almost successful assassination could have affected that is, people would think to themselves, are there security risks with investing into the Trump organization? But in this case, you know, I'd really have to, I really, do you think that in this case, resilience will turn risk into reward?
Well, I don't think so, because again, as you said, you know, there was an image of like the bullet that hit Trump's ear. If it had hit his brain, it would have caused severe damages to him. But let's talk about the Middle East still for a second. So the Trump Organization, you guys, partnered with the prominent Saudi Arabian real estate developer Dar Al Arkan to launch a Trump Tower, as you said, in Jeddah, and it's set to open around 2028. Now, of course, the UAE condemned the attack. Saudi Arabia as well condemned the attack, and as well a lot of other countries, which was really sad because like when it happened, people are saying, is this an act? Is it not? We don't think it's an act. You know, these are all, of course, conspiracy theories. So the shooter, as I said earlier, because it had gone somewhere else, he had positioned himself on a nearby rooftop and was reportedly killed by police snipers. But in that brief moment, when he tried to assassinate the Republicans' party, of course, a lot of, I would say, people, the police immediately tried to attack back.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. And regarding the business and so on, so an analyst say that the attack might generate the sympathy and votes for Trump. And this is all, of course, according to the Washington Post. And as well, the presumptive Republican presidential nominee survived assassination in the rally on Saturday. So we are thankful he is safe and healthy. However, Saudi Arabia led the Arab world condemnation on Sunday after the assassination, following the assassination on Saturday, attempt of the former U.S. President Donald Trump. And of course, they said the kingdom as well affirmed its complete solidarity with the United States, and not only the kingdom, as well world leaders like, let me just go through it, the Egyptian as well president, and the Palestinian president as well, they all stand in condemnation with whatever happened.
And you know, that's great, but I really think that in this case, Middle Eastern investors, they have no reason to be worried about Trump and his investments in the Middle East. And I really think so because, you know, if you saw the video when the bullet grazed his ear, did you see how he raised his hand up in a fist?
Of course.
Even while he was bleeding, he put his hand up in a fist. And, you know, I think the entire situation, it's almost a symbol of defiance and bravery from Trump. You know, it's almost dystopian that while he's bleeding, he raises up his fist. And I think for his Middle Eastern partners, they'll see this as, you know, the Trump organization being absolutely invincible. You know, it's owned by the man who has, you know, defied death. So I really do think that, you know, Trump didn't die, his business deals won't die. And I think that, you know, the fact that even in the face of such a situation, he showed such bravery, you know, this can translate into Middle Eastern partners being reassured that the Trump organization will continue. And, you know, this is further reaffirmed by the fact that Eric Trump told the Financial Times in Dubai that they will continue to pursue projects in the Middle East because of its explosive growth.
Yes, because he did say that the current U.S. President Joe Biden, who is as well, of course, like we know, Joe Biden and Donald Trump are opponents right now for the United States. However, he said on X, there is no place for this kind of violence in America. We must unite as a nation to condemn it. So it's, I would say it's very nice to see Biden's response to that. However, some are still questioning the shooter, where the FBI are actually identified as a 20-year-old. His name is Thomas Matthew Crooks from Pennsylvania. And there are still questions that are, you know, unanswered, left unanswered, or maybe blurred, some blurred lines. However, as you said, earlier that I don't think that this would be this would affect the business in the Middle East.
Yeah,
it wouldn't affect the business. I think it would even be better for the Middle East.
Yeah, and I think in this yes. case, the shooter, Thomas, he ended up being a white man. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that, you know, people are discussing yes. how if he was from the Middle East or if he was from another mm-hmm. race, this would have affected, you know, people in the region and it would have posed a lot of questions.
I agree with you as well, Warid, which is very, by the way, like he did say, like a single mother was talking about the inflation and so on. And she was saying, you know what, business, she said that Donald Trump is a businessman. And when he was the president of the United States, he took it as a business deal in a way, which is why inflation got higher. And moving on from that, of course, people are voting right now and so on. I think he is well invested in the Middle East. So we know that there is like a community called Trump and so on. But I think the business, I agree with you, the business will continue to flourish.
And, you know, Donald Trump actually also said, you know, after he was shot that he mm-hmm. was saved by God for luck.
Saved by God.
And on the topic of luck, mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, Farah.
Yes.
Do you think that luck attributes to success? Do you think it's luck or hard work?
They both come hand in hand.
You think they both
come hand in hand? I know that for sure. They both come hand in hand. Because if you want to think about it, you might be lucky, but if you don't work hard, you might lose what you were lucky to get.
I definitely agree with you in that case. But really what I think is that hard work, it makes you good. Mm-hmm. But luck makes you great. And, you know, we see this case in, you know, Microsoft's Bill Gates. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this, but basically, Bill Gates in the, I think it was around the 60s, he went to the only school in the U.S. that had a computer. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. has 50 states. It has 50 states, and within those states, it has small cities. He went to a school that had mm-hmm. 300 pupils. It was the only school that had a computer. And, you know, he even said it himself. If there had been no Lakeside, there would have been okay. no Microsoft. And, you know, it's just obviously, you know, the way that he built his company, mm-hmm. that all came down to him. But the fact that he went to the only school that had a computer, that he had access to that. So I definitely think hard work, of course, it pays off. But I think luck, it's being at the right place at the right time with the right people.
Well, let's go back to Trump. I want to say something. Did yeah. you know that after his assassination attempt, crypto actually rose on Sunday following the assassination attempt for Trump? Yes, it was trading at 3.84%. And then at 10:12 UAE time on Sunday, it got higher. But, I mean, honestly, like it just like shows. And as well, speaking of like how the assassination of Trump actually, I think, worked in his favor in a way, because like people will of course feel bad for him. However, as well, there's an analyst who said that the U.S. market could experience a decline in trading hours on Monday. However, it did not. It actually reached on like top high. And of course, that's of course also according to an analyst with a report done by The National.
And you know, you saying that his crypto went up, mm-hmm. I think this just goes further to confirm that what happened to him is not going to off-put investors, whether, you know, they're in America or they're in the Middle East. It won't mm-hmm. off-put them. If anything, him raising his fist, that symbol of power that he showed, will encourage people to further work with him in the Middle East.
As well, because it's, you know, like a lot of other things gone up as well, because gold as well as the United States dollars benefited from the whole assassination, because the market has seen an increase. I mean, for example, like gold was trading at 2,411.43 per ounce when markets closed on Friday. However, after the assassination, the gold hit 3,000. Instead of like 2,000 and something, it hit $3,000, which is a lot. And of course, the financial market has seen an increase, and gold and crypto and all of this. So I think, honestly, like the business would do well on his end and as well for the Middle East as well, for sure, since, you know, the UAE condemns it, Palestine condemns it, and as well Saudi Arabia as well condemns it, and as well Qatar and Bahrain condemn the attack. So you guys, if you hear it again, let me tell you, Trump's assassination is not going to be affecting business. If it's anything, it's going to do it even better. And this brings us to the end of the show. But before we say our goodbyes, don't forget to go in podcast form and our newsletter. If you guys have not subscribed to it, we get all of our news there first, hand in hand, before we even talk about it. Sometimes we don't even talk about the things that are on the newsletter on the show. So don't forget to subscribe to that. And we will be seeing you tomorrow, same time, same place.